Coming up next on Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, call in with your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez, Chief Medical Officer for Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. Next week will be a big test of the reopening of the economy, as we heard yesterday from Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham.
As businesses did their part to protect New Mexicans, we have to protect businesses that we continue to expand in terms of opening the economy by respecting that they can't stay open if you don't stay home when you can, wear a mask, wash your hands, and socially distance yourself from other human beings to the extent that you can, and we maintain those small group environments.
After NPR News, call in with your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez, Chief Medical Officer for Memorial Medical Center. Voice of the Public is next. 106 on KRWG Public Media, I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for joining us for Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. We'll be getting to our program in just a moment. Our guest today, and you can call in at 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez. She is the Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. She'll be taking your calls for the entire hour today. We're going to start the program in just a moment. But first, if you are just joining us, I want to bring you up to date on a major national news story today. You'll find more details at krwg.org. Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer involved in George Floyd's death, has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. The county attorney in Minneapolis, Mike Freeman, announced those charges today shortly after he was taken into custody by the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. A video depicting Chauvin's knee pressed firmly on Floyd's neck earlier this week sparked nationwide outrage. When asked why he was not arrested earlier, Freeman says that his office moved as quickly as possible. Chauvin and three other officers in the video were fired from the Minneapolis Police Department earlier this week, and the three others remain under investigation. Freeman says that he anticipates charges for them as well. Of course, NPR News will have much more on this coming up with hourly updates starting at 2:01 and in-depth coverage during All Things Considered at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now we move on to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update and some big news. Of course, yesterday we broke the news during All Things Considered, and of course we have more at krwg.org. New Mexico will begin to further open the economy on Monday. A new public health order will apply statewide. It will allow restaurants to offer dine-in service at 50% capacity. Bars will remain temporarily closed. Houses of worship and other retailers will remain at 25% capacity. Drive-in theaters may open, and additional state parks will open in phases. Opening at 25% capacity on Monday, indoor malls, food courts, though, in the malls will remain closed. And 25% capacity by appointment only, barbershops, hair and nail salons, tattoo and massage businesses, and opening at 50% capacity Monday, hotels and gyms and pools may open for lap swimming only and for lessons for up to two students. You can call us now with your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez, Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. The number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. If you're joining us at Facebook Live, you can certainly type your question on our Facebook page. And now we welcome Dr. Dolores Gomez to Voice of the Public. Dr. Gomez, great to have you here.
Thank you so much for the invite.
It's great to have you. Tell us, just to start off with, Dr. Gomez, how things are going for you at the hospital, for healthcare staff and for Memorial Hospital as a whole dealing with this pandemic.
Well, Fred, I'm glad to say that in Las Cruces, we have been very fortunate to not have a lot of patients admitted to our hospital with COVID. But we are very busy dealing with it. We had to get as prepared as everybody else did throughout the country for the possibility of surges and having really sick patients in our hospital. And I think our facility really came together. I think we were the poster child for great teamwork, and we continue to help support people getting tested. We have a drive-through test center that's set up on our campus with the help of the New Mexico Department of Health. And so we're doing everything to remain safe and to make sure our community is safe as well.
And you heard me mention the long list of things that will be changing in New Mexico on Monday as the economy begins to slowly reopen. Give me a general reaction to that news that just came down yesterday afternoon.
I'll say for me, there's a little bit of trepidation with it, but I'm cautiously optimistic that our community will come together and continue to do the things that we've heard over and over via the CDC from Anthony Fauci about just continuing to practice safe habits, which again includes social distancing, staying 6 feet apart from each other, great hand washing, face coverings, face masks to be used when we're out in public. And I think if we can continue to do this and kind of avoid too large of gatherings, and I think that was the purpose of the governor kind of doing this very slowly, I think that we will be successful and hopefully continue to see us open up in a responsible and safe manner.
Okay. Our guest today on Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update is Dr. Dolores Gomez. She is the Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. You can call in right now with your questions at 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And we now have a question from Adan. Adan, thank you for being with us.
Hi. I don't know if this has been answered or not, but how do you think our city will be impacted by opening up even just at 10%? Because from my understanding, if people, like, say, for instance, if people are without masks in restaurants and they have COVID, but we don't know, will it be deadlier? How do you think things will play out?
Okay, Don, thank you very much for that question. And Dr. Gomez, you obviously are not the only one who's going into this, as the word you use, with some trepidation. Our first caller concerned as well that, of course, in a restaurant, even though the tables will be 6 feet apart and capacity will be limited to 50%, Adan raising that concern that there could be groups of people, of course, without a mask on, because you cannot eat with a mask on, and concerned about the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think that that one of the concerns with that is, and I think we've all seen it when we've been out in public, is seeing people that continue to not wear masks and trying to give them the generous assumption. Sometimes it's just maybe not being as informed as we think that we all should be, given the amount of information that's been put out there. But I think also just the idea that with a mask on, you know, are you infringing on my rights to do what I need to do? Or just, you know, worried that they could get sick. Or I've heard a lot of people talking about, well, I'm anxious when I put a mask on. It makes me feel claustrophobic. And I think it's just trying to address the importance of why we think that's an important thing to do. Now, obviously, the masks aren't the only thing. We have to continue to wash our hands. I know a lot of the restaurants and businesses have have really emphasized how well they're going to maintain the cleanliness of the facilities as well. And that's just as important as well. But our the idea of that asymptomatic patient not being aware that they could be COVID positive, that's the importance of wearing a mask. And what we say in medicine, we call that source control. So it's not that I am worried that that you're going to get me sick, I'm trying to protect me if I am asymptomatic, that I don't get you sick by wearing that protective covering. It's not the other way around. And you will get some protection by wearing the mask yourself from somebody else that may be sick, but we really want to protect in that other direction as much as we can.
Absolutely. And it's just such an important thing to emphasize, especially now that we're beginning to learn more about COVID-19. And of course, the latest information that's coming out is that there's a belief that this is the primary way that COVID-19 is contracted, that it's contact with other people, not someone touching a surface that might be dirty and then touching their face. Of course, that is potentially a way to transmit disease. But the belief thus far is that it is contact with other people. And, as you know, Dr. Gomez, the general rule that has been given has been stay 6 feet away. But in fact, there have been a number of studies which indicate that might be actually the absolute minimum, that in fact that this can travel further than 6 feet, depending on the situation. And it's really important to keep this in mind. Wearing a mask is protecting other people and protecting society as a whole. We are so thankful that medical professionals such as yourself in our city have not faced the situation that we've seen in New York City. But the governor has said this is only because we do have a large portion of the population following the rules, social distancing, staying home as often as possible. So it's absolutely essential to continue to do that, even more important to do that as we reopen the economy starting on Monday. You can call in to our guest, Dr. Dolores Gomez, Chief Medical Officer of Memorial Medical Center, at 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And Dr. Gomez, I have another caller on the line. Angela is with us. Hi, Angela. Your question.
Hi, Dr. Gomez. If somebody's diagnosed with COVID and they're asymptomatic, are they really only contagious for 2 weeks? And then after that, should they be retested to make sure that it's gone?
That's a great question. The CDC actually just did some updates on that guidance. And there's different strategies to kind of look at whether somebody is now considered safe. I would love to say that I have the perfect answer for that because it does continue to evolve. We'd like to say that 14 days seems to be the window of time since they first started with symptoms that they're better. But as we said, many people who are asymptomatic, you can't really rely just on that. So there are some test-based strategies where you can get retested after so many days, and you wait for 24 hours between two tests, and hopefully both tests are negative. We know, and you probably have heard also in the media, that sometimes our tests it would be great to have a test that is 100% foolproof, but even with the testing strategy, that's difficult. So even once you either feel better or even if you remained asymptomatic, as we continue to say, it's always good to just continue to be safer at home, wearing the mask. So just in case that you are still contagious, if we want to say it that way, that you're doing everything to continue to protect those around you from getting ill.
And we should mention, Dr. Gomez, that if you do need a face mask, there is a way to get one through the New Mexico Department of Health. If you go to the COVID website for the New Mexico Department of Health, which is cv.nmhealth.org, at the top right of the page, you will see a link that says Request a Mask. And if you click on that link, you can enter your address and a mask will be sent to you. There are both masks for adults as well as for children. And so that's an opportunity for you. I imagine as well, we'll be seeing about more community distribution of masks. That occurred this morning at the Doniana County building. And we hope to see more of those as well. You can call in right now for our guest, Dr. Dolores Gomez, Chief Medical Officer for Memorial Medical Center at 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And we now have a caller on the line for our guest, Angel. Angel, your question. Your question.
Yes, my question is for Dr. Gomez. Early on in the onset of this pandemic, I thought I had the brilliant idea of opening drive-in movie theaters where there wouldn't be any contact, and I thought that that would be, you know, a safe thing. And I've seen on the news as of late where this is actually taking place in California. There are several drive-in movie theaters operating, but it leaves out the big question. You know, so you go to a two-hour movie. You need to get there 45 minutes early, find a parking space. It takes a while to get out of there. If you're potentially going to spend 4 hours in your car, possibly with children, what about the bathroom?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this is very timely. This is a very timely question because drive-in theaters actually are going to be allowed to open in New Mexico on Monday. And, of course, you're right. This was one of the reasons why this was a concern was that, of course, no one's going to stay in their car probably for the entire time they're there. They're going to go to a concession stand. They're going to go to the restroom. And so there are concerns.
Right. And yeah. I remember back when I used to go to the drive-in theater, excuse me, doctor, there was always the intermission. And that's when everybody just stormed the bathroom and the concession stand.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing anything from the media or information health-wise about how they're going to address having to go.
Okay. Dr. Gomez, your thoughts.
Yeah. It's interesting how you start with, well, we can be there, but what's going to happen while I'm there? And I think you both, both the caller and you, brought up some good points, the bathroom use, the concessions and such. And I think that's one of the reasons the governor hasn't quite said how we're going to start looking at large gatherings, because technically that would be considered a large gathering. Right now we're held to gatherings no more than five. I think just like restaurants are going to have to really think about the percentage of people that are actually going to be present, I think drive-in theaters are going to have to think about that as well, just because of the points that you both brought up. They're still going to need to keep that 6 feet at least distance when you go. It may be paying attention to how many are standing outside of the line. We've all seen lines in bathrooms just in general at big public forums. So they're going to really need to think about that. And, you know, most of the restaurants now that have been able to stay open for drive-through and drive-up have laid down tape to help set that 6 feet distance. And that's a really good way for us to kind of maintain that rather than standing right behind each other. So I hope that they will be thinking about that as we move forward.
Yeah, and it's very important to mention that even though restaurants are going to offer be allowed to offer dine-in service on Monday, in addition to 50% capacity being the maximum and tables being at least 6 feet apart, The rules in New Mexico say that bar and counter service is prohibited, and also restaurants have to eliminate areas where customers might congregate. So we're not going to see salad bars. We're not going to see areas, other areas in a restaurant where people might congregate and be in close contact with each other, which is the really, really important thing to emphasize. We have another caller on the line now. Joshua joins us. Joshua, your question.
Hi. Thank you very much for your guys' time. Dr. Gomez, appreciate your time. We're all aware that Memorial Medical Center is not allowing visitors at this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. There's a little caveat in that, but right now we have a zero visitor policy.
Actually, you know, we do have a release on our website at krwg.org. It just came out right before we went on the air, Dr. Gomez, about the caveat, I believe, that you mentioned, which it talks about allowing one visitor for a surgical patient, and that visitor would have to be screened. So I don't know if that release went out a little early, but we just posted that on krwg.org.
Correct. Yeah. And right now, as we are reopening, that also has been a big part for the hospital as well. You know, we went down to a zero visitor policy so we would avoid you know, the spread of COVID, either from patients in-house to help protect staff as well. But as we started to reopen, because we had to kind of really be very thoughtful in our surgical cases and those elective cases, as we've, again, been fortunate that we haven't had as many cases, we're starting to reopen our surgery and allow people to come back in and get those surgeries that we know that they need. But with that, obviously, those patients get anesthesia, and sometimes they're not quite awake when it's time to go home. And so we're allowing them to have a visitor with them to ensure that the instructions on their return to home are very clearly defined, and somebody is able to understand that very well. So right now, that is our only visitor that is allowed for those surgical patients, but we're still maintaining zero visitors for those patients that remain in the hospital.
Such good information. Joshua, any other questions?
Yes, what my question was going to lead to is with the concern of how the reporting is being handled and maybe not as accurate. What are the measurables the hospital is using to determine when you are going to allow visitors or reopen your doors for all visitors to be able to go back into your hospital?
Good question. Thank you, Joshua. Dr. Gomez, how will you decide when it is safe to loosen up that visitor policy anymore?
So I think our state has done a really good job of trying to use the best kind of modelings that are out there to help us really get the best evidence and information that we can on how the state is doing overall. They have it broken also down by counties. Dr. Scrace has done an excellent job with the state and using that modeling to help us know better. And so when the governor does come on, if anybody has watched her on Facebook Live, they show a lot of those slides that are really trying to help define that better for us. And they're looking at that, and that's what they're using to help say why they're reopening things. And we would try to do the same thing and follow what the state is doing so we can use the best evidence that's out there. And we're also very fortunate, being a big part of a larger corporation through LifePoint Health. They also, through them, every week we have calls to talk about where we are and using their information to help guide us using the best evidence that we have moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Dolores Gomez, she is the Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. She's joining us for the hour on Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. You can call in with questions for Dr. Gomez right now at 646-2212. That's 646-2212, or share your questions at Facebook Live. We are broadcasting live, as we always do, on Facebook today, so that you can access the show that way if you wish. And we're always with you on the radio and at krwg.org, streaming live. Jason is on the line. Jason, your question for Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, thank you for having this show today. And I want to thank you for doing a great job that you're doing at KRWG. And then also thank Dr. Gomez for being on to answer questions like this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. I just want to preface what I was going to say and ask by saying that I have been a patient at Memorial Medical. Dear friends and family have been patients at Memorial Medical, and pretty much been a very positive experience all the way around. And even right now, if something, God forbid, were to happen to me and an ambulance was called, I would be very adamant about telling them, take me to Memorial Medical. So I just want that to be known ahead of time. I'm glad somebody brought up the elective surgery issue, though, because I do have a friend right now who is about to have some surgery done there. And I understand that probably most of this is COVID-related, but this is somebody who has some pre-existing conditions and health experiences in their life that have been very traumatizing. We're all sort of being collectively traumatized by the whole COVID thing. And she has been having some additional trauma just in her interfacing with the hospital in her preoperative steps that need to be taken, whether it's, you know, tests beforehand, imaging, blood tests, blood work, and things like that. And to the point where she's just really kind of being exasperated by the whole thing. And I mean, I would love, if I were the hospital, I would want to apologize to her. But I'm coming just from a question of constructive results. What can be done to improve that experience? Because I'm somebody who believes that when you're going through health issues, you know, the last place that you should experience any more traumatic things or when you're trying to interface with the place where you're going to be having a procedure done.
Jason,
I'll hang up and listen to your question.
Thank you very much, Jason, for the question. Dr. Gomez.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Jason for giving such a nice compliment to Memorial Medical Center. I think everybody that works here really takes pride in doing the best for our patients, offering that safe and quality care as much as possible. And it's unfortunate that, you know, like you said, that his friend was having some difficulty. We have tried to set up the best process that we can to try to make it as easy for our patients. With COVID, obviously, it's been a little more challenging. We have to screen these patients at any point that they're coming to the facility because we want to ensure that they're not ill. We don't want to be doing surgery on them if that's a concern. We might have to postpone things if we see that happens. And part of it has been because of the hospital going through its difficulties. Our staffing and how we're doing that is also being ramped back up. Our normal process is to have a preoperative medical clinic that can do kind of a one-stop shop and make that happen. But just as much as everybody else was affected with having staff cut back for a short time and temporarily, we've had to kind of restructure and make that a little bit better. So I'm very sorry that she's had some difficulty with that. And, you know, Jason, if you're still listening, if there's anything that you want to send to us and that way maybe we can get more of the specifics to make it better, because obviously we know we're going to be dealing with this, unfortunately, probably for many, many more months to come. But we want to make that process better for everybody, and maybe we can use this as a learning opportunity to do that.
Okay. Dr. Dolores Gomez, she is the Chief Medical Officer for Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. You can call in with questions for Dr. Gomez at 646-2212. That's 646-2212. And right now we go to Pauline. Pauline, a question for Dr. Gomez.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my question. This has more to do with some of the decisions that were made by the Las Cruces Public School System to begin contact sports this summer. I'd like to hear her thoughts on whether it's a good timing to return to contact sports.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Pauline. I'm sure a lot of people are asking that question. Contact sports, Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, that one's a little tougher. I have family members that are still in school and love playing baseball and football. And it's been hard, and me being a sports addict myself, I really miss that. I do think, though, we still need to have that caution. You know, we said this at the very beginning, that we know that contact, that close contact in people who often can be asymptomatic, I think does raise some risk, obviously. You know, maybe the thought behind it is because we do know in our younger population, thank goodness, we have not seen the amount of positivity of COVID in them. But I do think that we still have to be very cautious. I've also heard that, well, they may reinstitute that, but you may not have the gatherings of the fans around. It would be a very different experience. I do think they really need to pay attention to what that would look like, and you know, if anything starts to look like we're moving towards more of a surge or another uptick in cases, I think that would have to be rethought very carefully.
Such a good point, and Dr. Gomez, such an important time to be talking about this, as a lot of decisions are going to be made in the next month or two about how to reopen education, how to reopen the economy, and caution is the watchword. This is the thing that we have to think about, is caution, that we do not want to see in Las Cruces or anywhere else in our region hospitals becoming overwhelmed, as has been the case in New York and elsewhere. And I'm glad you mentioned as well the issue of young people, because as we learn more about this disease, unfortunately, we're hearing some very disturbing things here. That as we get more data, there is a need to be cautious about the data as well. There's a new report that just came out in the last 24 hours that half of the new COVID-19 cases in Washington state are among people who are under 40 years old. So we are seeing, you know, it's anecdotal, but we're seeing cases where in certain areas a very significant portion of patients are younger, even though we know collectively, nationally, and worldwide, there are more cases among older individuals. This is just it's a new disease, and we're learning as we go. So isn't that right, that we've got to be careful?
Absolutely, and I think sometimes it does lead to some confusion. Just like you said, that report just came out within the last 24 hours, and that's part of a novel or a new virus like this. Mm-hmm. As we learn more about it, things are going to change. We may be able to reinforce what we believed in the beginning, or we may find that maybe things have changed. And it's not that I think the information is being given out erroneously. It's because this is new and it's going to change. And I think that kind of goes back to stressing that I think the best way for us to think about this is think about all of us possibly being positive. And I think if we can think that way, whether you're healthy, whether you have multiple underlying conditions, whether you're young, whether you're old, I think if we all can just think about it, that I potentially could be infected, I think that would help us continue to practice all that safe kind of guidelines that we continue to hear about, social distancing, washing your hands, masking. And I think that will help us continue to move forward, because we all want to move forward. We all get a little tired of being at home. You know, initially we're like, gosh, I can't wait to be home. But I think if we continue to do that right, we can continue to move forward in a very safe manner.
Absolutely. 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez. She is the chief medical officer at Memorial Medical Center. We have a question now from Charlie. Charlie, your question.
Yeah, we're all hoping for a vaccine that eventually will end the pandemic. But right now, from what I understand, there's a great deal of uncertainty about the amount of immunity that one gets when one has the disease and then recovers, as far as the degree and also the amount of time that you're immune. Given that we've had some cases, at least I've heard, back in China and also in the U.S. Navy, they had some sailors that got the disease and then got reinfected, basically, with the COVID. So that throws some doubt as to what, you know, what is it? I guess the question is, what is this reinfection? What impact does that on even the possibility of a vaccine? For example, these sailors, it must have been within a couple of months that they got reinfected. And okay, if that's true, then is there really a possibility of a vaccine?
Okay, Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, I think, we've heard a lot about people comparing this to the flu. Obviously that's a very different virus, but viruses in general can be very clever, and we all know that, and that's why they can be very difficult to kind of take care of, and we know that we don't have the appropriate treatments, a lot of antivirals. Luckily we do now for the flu have something that is a little bit helpful in helping people relieve their symptoms. But I think viruses, you know, they change and they can develop subtypes, and we've seen that happen with the flu. I think a vaccine can happen. The difficult thing with vaccines is, again, they have to go through phase trials, and it takes time. I think Anthony Fauci has stated several times that we have one right now that's kind of looking promising, that maybe at the earliest it could be out would be in January. Obviously, come flu season, are we going to have to deal with flu and SARS at the same time? I think we're hoping that we're going to see some changes with it, but it may be very similar to a vaccine like the flu. We have to subtype it every year. So the flu shot that you get every year is different because we look at what was there the year before and then how do we develop an appropriate vaccine for the following year. That might be what we're going to be looking at with COVID, but again, it's all still new. We're going to see where we go. I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get there. We have a lot of scientists that are looking into this, and I think we'll get there, but it may change.
Okay, great information. 646-2212, that's 646-2212. Your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez. She's the chief medical officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. And we have another caller on the line now, Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hello. So my question, I guess, I occasionally end up going down the rabbit trail of the media and all of the coverage, and then I stay a few days away. But the last I heard, our ability to contact trace was not where it should be. How has that improved, or is that even part of the plans to improve public health?
Okay, thank you, Anne. Your response, Dr. Gomez.
So you're right. One of the big keys, and where we've seen the countries that have been most successful in really trying to contain this virus, including China and South Korea, New Zealand, recently, I think they've gone now 5 or 6 days without a positive case. A lot of it has to do with that contact tracing. And if we can do that and find those that are positive, we can keep them away from the general public and make things better. So I believe it was just a couple of days ago, actually, our New Mexico Department of Health has put out essentially a want ad to get over 200 people to come in and actually be employed to be contact tracers. And I think that is a big key for public health to hopefully continue to contain this as much as we can. So, you know, I think the state is really looking at that. It's very difficult to do, and you've probably seen different things that, you know, you have one person that's positive, and then they're going to probably affect three, and then those three affect another three. So you can see how exponentially it can grow very quickly. And those contact tracers can be a key, I think, in helping with that. So hopefully the state's going to be moving forward with that and be able to do an even better job at containing this virus.
Yeah, and we should say that contact tracing is built into the slow reopening of our economy starting on Monday. In fact, restaurants are going to be asking people who want to do dine-in service for their contact information. Now, you're not required to provide it, but restaurants are required to ask. And so this is an attempt to be able to do this contact tracing. And it's so important because what we've seen around the country is that you have clusters of infection in particular places. In fact, El Paso released on their Facebook page not too long ago a large number of clusters of two or more positive cases throughout El Paso, many of them at offices or detention centers, certain businesses. And so you get a sense of how the spread occurred, and you protect the entire community because someone who was at an area where there might be a cluster may be asymptomatic and may have no reason to think that they would be spreading the disease. Right, Dr. Gomez?
Yes, that's very true, and that's what that contact tracing can do. So if it, you know, unfortunately we can't help where the cluster happened, but we can definitely keep that cluster from growing.
Okay, we have another caller on the line now for you. Allison is with us. Allison, hi, your question.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my question. Given that agriculture and agricultural production is so important here in southern New Mexico, and some of what we've been seeing in other places like Tennessee, the Pacific Northwest, I was wondering about the feasibility of possibly more proactivity in taking testing out to some of these employers. Say in the onion sheds and things like that, where although they may be taking some precautions, workers do face a lot of the same issues as people in meatpacking. They work shoulder to shoulder.
And may not have access to health care. Such good information. Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, I think those are, I think that's an excellent point in doing that. I think one way the governor right now is trying to address it is saying if you are going to be working, you will get tested. I think the biggest thing with that is we have to have enough tests, obviously, to do that. And it may mean multiple tests. We know I may be fine today, but a week from now, if I've had exposure, then that might change things for me. I think the difficulty in that it would be how do we figure out who's going to actually administer the test. It's an uncomfortable test for those in the community that have had it done, and it's not just a simple swab on the outside of the nose or just into the mouth. It would be how do we look at that to maybe have a healthcare provider who could be doing those tests on site. That would be an interesting thing to try to build as we continue to open, and how feasible could it be to do that?
Okay, great question. We really appreciate that. Thank you, Allison, for that. Your questions for Dr. Gomez. We only have about 12 minutes left, so if you've been thinking about a question, you should call right now before we run out of time. 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Your questions for Dr. Dolores Gomez. She's Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. And Dr. Gomez, I wanted to get an update from you on how we're doing in at Memorial and in Las Cruces for what you know, in terms of having the proper personal protective equipment for all of our healthcare heroes?
Well, the good news is that we are in a good position right now. With all of this, we've actually as well partnered with Mountain View Medical Center. We all talk to each other because we know we are both here to serve the community and ensure that the community is safe, but we also want to make sure our staff is safe. You know, we take inventory every day, so we know that we're not going through a fast, what we call burn rate of our PPE. And so right now we're in a good place, and we can stay there again if we all are being very socially responsive and responsible to this virus. So we're very fortunate right now that things are looking good.
I'm very happy to hear that, and happy to see the various cases all throughout our region of the community coming together to try to help out in any way possible, and it sounds like that definitely has been working. We do have another caller now. Charlie has a question. Hi, Charlie.
Yes. My question had to do with the just something I've seen around town, and I live in El Paso, so hopefully it's not happening in Las Cruces as much. But I seem to see families walking together, husband, wife, and one or two children. The wife and the children all have facial covering, but the husband is walking around barefaced. And to me, that seems like he's endangering his family or other people if he's not covering his face. So is that true or not?
Okay.
I see that a lot.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Thank you, Charlie, for that. Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, I would love to say that it's only unique to El Paso, but we do see it in Las Cruces as well. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, being safe at home, and, you know, I'm assuming those families are in the home together. That to me is one of the keys, because they've probably already all been exposed because they are in the same environment in the same home. But when we are out in public, and especially if you're going to be around other people, and I will say one of the great things that has happened with this is I do see people out and about a lot more. You know, from a health perspective, we love people to be out and walking and biking and hiking and doing those things. But as more people are doing that, you know, we are going to be close to each other. And so if we know that we're going to be around others that are outside of our family unit, we all should be masked because the exposure is going to be there, and there's going to be less chance, again, of me giving it to you and vice versa if we all stay masked.
And you have to ask, what's it going to take? You know, what's it going to take? Dr. Gomez, I saw something on television this week on a network news program, and I thought, gee, I got to find that video and put it on our website. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was a video using a special light technology, and it showed a person talking, just talking. They weren't sneezing or anything, just talking. And it showed the droplets that were coming out of their mouth without a mask on, and then they put a mask on, and you don't see it. So, I mean, it just that visual maybe would help some people who are resistant to this.
Yeah, I think so. I think we all are very visual and we're very multimodal. I think sometimes hearing it for some isn't enough. It's being able to see it and see what it means. I've seen something very similar using kind of agar plates for those of us that have done biology, where you can grow out bacteria and viruses, and basically the same thing. If you've got a mask on and you talk into it versus not a mask on, the amount of just our normal bacteria that's available that can grow just from normal talking. Absolutely.
Yeah, that video, it was a thousand words, as the cliche says, a picture is worth a thousand words. It really is. We have another caller on the line now, John, calling in. Hi, John.
Hello.
Your question.
So, Dr. Gomez, real quick, what do you see changes will be made in hospitals of the next 5 years?
Okay, the long-term impact, Dr. Gomez, what are you seeing? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, we've always talked about in the hospital settings about ensuring appropriate hygiene and appropriate safe practices to keep us from getting infected. Outside of COVID, we know that in hospitals, the simple way to say it is we're full of germs in the hospital. People are here because they're sick, and they're sick for various reasons, but often because they have some sort of infection. And I think that we've continued to always say why it's important to wash your hands, why it's important to clean surfaces, why we need to wear PPE. But I think with this pandemic, I think it's really hit home even harder. And I'll say for myself personally, we always talk about you got to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Well, when you're rounding and seeing your patients and you're going room to room, 20 seconds, when you really count it out, seems like a really long time. But I think we've really paid more attention now with this and why those things are so important for us to do. So I think our hospitals will continue to do that, but even at a bigger and a better way to ensure that we keep our patients safe, that we keep our staff safe through all of this. So, you know, right now you're going to see, you've seen them at stores as well, sneeze guards and things like that. You know, those might be good things to continue to do even once we get past all of this. So I think there's some practices that we've learned through this that I think we should continue to follow once this is all gotten better.
Okay, 646-2212. That's 646-2212. It's your last chance to call in with a question for Dr. Dolores Gomez, our chief medical officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. Just about 5 minutes left in the show, so do call now or enter your question at Facebook Live on our Facebook page if you have had a question as we've listened for the last hour. And Dr. Gomez, I did not have a chance to ask you one of the questions that I wanted to ask, and that deals with the hospital. I assume that as you now are beginning elective surgeries again, you have to have a different, I assume, protocol here in that you are really monitoring the numbers very carefully in terms of any demand for COVID patients, because we've seen in certain cities where there was a long period where there were very few demands placed on hospitals in other cities like Las Cruces, and then the elective surgeries began, and all of a sudden there was a COVID surge, and the ICU was being, overwhelmed. So I assume you're kind of really having to watch numbers in a way that wasn't required before.
Right. No, we are doing that, and just as much as restaurants and everyone are going to do these kind of phased processes of allowing more people in, we've done the same thing. So we know we've always done our urgent and emergent surgeries. That hasn't gone away. But as we start to let people back in, we're doing everything we can, again, to continue to protect them, protect our staff. They're going to be screened when they come in. They may be screened more than once as they're coming in. And we ask that patients understand that it's mainly because we want to ensure their protection mm-hmm. and the protection of our surgical team taking care of them. Okay. If they're high risk, they will get tested. So those are important things. So we've got that in place, and we're ready for those patients to come to us. We're going to do this as safely and responsibly as possible.
Okay, just about 4 minutes left. We have another caller, Lou Ann.
Yes, hi. I have several questions, but I'll just ask one.
One.
So I had seen a report on TV about a doctor who had studied what was going wrong in New York and why so many people were dying, and some success they started having at the end, and then also in Italy. And I know in Germany, too, they would go and see patients when they had COVID at their homes and give them oxygen. And so basically what they had said was that if you caught people early because they didn't realize their oxygen level was dropping because their body got used to having low oxygen, that if you actually caught it early and gave them oxygen, that you could save them from going into worse respiratory distress and end up being on a ventilator. And I was just wondering if you guys have heard of that and
okay.
like what could be done.
All right. We have about 2 minutes. Dr. Gomez.
Yeah, I think right now a lot of that, I have heard similar stories. It's anecdotal right now whether it lays out, but I do know that that follow through. We've done some of that with some of our patients who present to the emergency room who may not be sick enough to be admitted, but we're sending them home with a pulse oximeter. So if they start to see a change, they can get back with either their outpatient primary provider or whether they need to come back to us before they are too sick. It'll be interesting as data moves forward with that, if that is something that we will be able to continue to look at and do to help, hopefully, getting them to us before they're in the need for ICU care.
Okay. Marlene, I have about a minute and a half left in the show. Your question, real quick.
Yes, sir. I had a routine dental appointment the other day, and I asked the question, has my dentist and the hygienist, have they been tested? And I was told no.
Mm.
So I passed.
Okay.
Was I right to do that?
Okay, interesting. Dr. Gomez, what do you think?
You know, I think it's always okay to ask the question, and I think you're trying to ensure your safety just as much as we are doing the same. I think it's an appropriate question to ask.
Okay, very good. And I would assume, Dr. Gomez, that when people are going to be in close contact with other people, it's a good idea for them to get tested.
I think so. Right now, because of the amount of asymptomatic positives that we've had, I don't think it's a bad idea. And as long as we've got the ability to test, we should do it.
You are absolutely fabulous, Dr. Gomez. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know this is really an important service, and we appreciate so much you taking the time out for us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate for you giving me the opportunity to talk to our community.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you do for our community. This is a stressful time to work in healthcare, and we appreciate you and all of the people who work in healthcare so very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Dolores Gomez, she is the Chief Medical Officer at Memorial Medical Center in Las Cruces. Healthcare heroes, they are making such a difference for us. We had a question about where to request masks. Again, that's the New Mexico Department of Health website for coronavirus, cv.nmhealth.org. Have a great Friday.